Hey everybody, before we get started, I want to let you know that never am I more thankful for ProWrestling.net membership than when there's a big week in wrestling news. Yesterday, I woke up, found out there was a draft split happening, and what did I have waiting for me? An episode of .NET Weekly where Jason Powell's got inside scoops on that draft split. He's going to tell you how it's going to go down. He also was joined by Brian Fritz for part of that show, and they broke it down and gave some great analysis. On top of that, audio reviews of every major TV show, ad-free access to ProWrestling.net's website, and so much more. If you want to become a member, it's just $7.50 a month, or if you take the annual option, $5.50 a month, go to ProWrestling.net, click the membership link, and check it out. Also, a great way you could help us out on this podcast, give us a review. Go into iTunes, tap some stars, give us a star rating, because that's what wrestling fans are apparently best at, and tell us what you think of the show, good, bad, ugly. We want to hear it all. Any feedback really helps on that front, so we would love if you would hit us up with a review there. Thanks, everybody, and enjoy the show. This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will. He's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Will Time and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, the WWE departures of Cody and Brandi Rhodes and the scripted departure of Ric Flair. So, Jake, we were going to actually talk about this yesterday, but our excitement about the brand split took over, and for good reason. But there is something really interesting to talk about in WWE. In the last week, we've seen Cody Rhodes, Cody Runnels, whatever, Stardust, whatever you want to call him, and Brandi Rhodes leave WWE. And this is something I know it caught a lot of people off guard. It caught me off guard because, not to be callous, but we just had Dusty Rhodes pass away. WWE seemed super classy and awesome in handling all of that. And then we find out that there's enough unhappiness within parts of the Rhodes family that they are up and leaving. Cody put out a statement on his Twitter at PrinceCGR, kind of explaining the reasons he was leaving, explaining what had happened and what his future held. I'm surprised and also really intrigued to see where he goes. What do you think of them leaving WWE?
You know, I don't look at this as a, you know, as something where, yeah, it didn't seem that acrimonious to me. I mean, obviously Cody had his frustrations and he, you know, he's self-aware enough to get a feel for, you know, what Vince and Triple H and the writers there thought of him. And he obviously has, you know, his complaints about the structure of WWE, but it really just seemed like he was, you know, sort of creatively exhausted. He had tried everything that he thought he could, and you know, he had gotten nowhere, and it was just time for him to do something else. You know, I think it's ultimately a positive thing for both of them. I mean, it sounds like Brandi has her own things going on outside of WWE, and that's great for her. And, you know, whenever they can, you know, I don't know if they're, you know, underneath the typical 90-day non-compete or if they're, you know, up until the end of whatever their deal would have been. You know, the contract portion of that is still kind of vague and unanswered. But the idea of them leaving to pursue their own interests and try to build up, you know, their own personal lives and chase their own dreams creatively, I think it's fantastic. I applaud their courage.
Yeah, I applaud the courage. I know Cody is someone who seemed to always be looking for that next thing that would take him a little further. And he's someone that, to me, always wanted to be a main eventer. He wrote a blog on Brandi's website at one point about his dream of holding the WWE Championship and it being the title his dad never won. I think he mentioned that in his statement too, that that's what he always wanted. He seemed like a guy that believed in the brass ring. Like that was his goal. He was going to get it. He was going to get there somehow. And along the way, he was in Legacy, which was a fine faction and a fine starting point, or, you know, close to his starting point. Obviously, he came in a little bit before Legacy, but he was in Legacy, and he was dashing Cody Rhodes and made the best of that gimmick. I think he kind of is a guy that I'll remember as someone who made the best of everything he could with the dashing gimmick, with the disfigured post-dashing gimmick. I mean, he got having a mustache over to a massive degree in 2012, 2013. There were moments where it looked like he was going to kind of get his, but he was always on the outside looking in on that main event scene. And after the pairing with Gold Dust and winning the tag titles in that amazing match at Battleground 2013, that was when it was, right? 2014? It was 2013 against the Shield.
Yeah.
It seemed to go downhill, and it was the breaking up of that tag team. It was the really weird way they treated the Stardust character after it was created, like, and just the creation in general of the Stardust character seems kind of odd. But Cody, again, being a guy inspired by comic books, tried to make him into a supervillain. The problem is WWE didn't want to give him that supervillain booking support, so it was strange, and I don't blame him for wanting out of the face paint and out of the makeup and wanting to be Cody again, but I wonder if that's an opportunity he should have taken advantage of when right after his dad passed away, even though that wasn't his original plan and he wanted to see the angle with Stephen Amell through. It's definitely strange. It's definitely a weird departure. It's someone that I didn't think would leave, and it seems to be less than a happy departure, which you also hate to see.
Well, I think his letter pretty much spelled out everything that he wanted to say on the subject. You know, he got ignored by creative. Triple H and Vince made, you know, how they saw him as a character, you know, very clear to him. I think the line from Triple H about, you know, everybody having a part and needing to play it in the grand play that he considers WWE is pretty telling. I mean, I think they, you know, they do put ceilings on people and maybe artificial ones based on their own perceptions. And that, you know, it's inherently unfair because it's totally subjective. You know, the fans have a totally different opinion on Cody Rhodes than I think, you know, WWE's brass did. I mean, you could see by how people reacted to that feud between, you know, the Rhodes family and the Shield that there was a lot of investment there. I mean, that pop when, you know, when Cody hit the crossroads on Seth Rollins to win that match is still, you know, you go back and watch it now, it's massive. I mean, there was nothing but excitement based on that whole feud, and how, you know, watching that family come together on WWE television made people happy. So I think there, you know, there's good reason for Cody to be upset and think better of himself than WWE thought of him, and want to go chase, you know, bigger and better things elsewhere. I think he's absolutely capable of it, and it is a bummer, you know, to see a guy walk away with that much frustration hanging over his head. But ultimately, you know, he's taking steps that will make him happier, give him a break, you know, give him a change in perspective, and let him go out there and do what a lot of people have begun to do very successfully in this internet and social media age, which is build himself a career completely independent of the major machinations of WWE.
Yeah, do you see... Where do you see him going? He said in his statement he's going to wrestle. You know, it's what he does. He wrestles. I don't know what his status is with WWE as far as his release or how long he has to stay off the scene for or anything like that. I don't know if it's a, you know, like we've said, the departure doesn't seem super happy. So who knows what's happening as far as how long he has to actually not wrestle for. But Do you see him as a guy who goes to New Japan in main events, or, you know, ends up on like Ring of Honor shows? Do you see him being an indie darling? Do you see him being a stalwart for one company? Do you see him down in TNA getting opportunities like Drew Galloway and EC3 do?
You know, if he wants to make money, which I think anybody does, he'll take absolute advantage of his name value and go out and work independence for a while, and then,
which we should say, Jason has verified this, Cody in some way will be able to use the he's confirmed this, will be able to use the Cody Rhodes name,
yeah, which is great.
Yeah,
I think he absolutely has earned that much, at least. And so, you know, go make as much money as you can on those independent bookings. I know people are generally willing to pay a lot more when you first make your, you know, make the rounds going around the country and around the world. But I hope he does make it to Japan, because I think there would be a lot more opportunity there, not only because of his name, but because, you know, he works a style and he's talented enough and he acts well enough that I think he could get over with that audience, and it might earn him enough cachet to where, if he wants to at some point, make his way back to WWE. But I think, you know, if I'm Cody Rhodes, and if I'm reading the emotional state of Cody Rhodes correctly based on his letter, I think he's just made an attempt here to free himself of needing validation from WWE that he is great, because I think he already is, and he can go prove that other places.
Exactly. He can go elsewhere. He can prove other things. What do you see? I was actually kind of surprised that we got the announcement from Brandi Eden Styles on WWE TV so soon after. She's mentioned some displeasure. I think one notable thing she said on Twitter was that WWE wouldn't let her change her name to Eden Rhodes on TV after Dusty passed away, and that's something she wanted to do to honor her family and honor Dusty, obviously. Do you think that's part of it? Do you think there's something deeper there? Do you think she's just leaving because the environment with Cody gone wasn't going to be something that she wanted to be a part of? Or, like you said, she mentioned having other projects as well.
Yeah, I'm sure other projects were the thing that finally let her free herself of WWE. I mean, I'm sure it was just the, okay, there's something out there for me that's not here. But, you know, as somebody who probably had the road life of WWE made tolerable by being there with her husband, I can't imagine wanting to stick it out for any length of time without him. You know, I don't know what her life is like, or her friendships are like inside WWE. She might be very popular. She may not. I'm not aware of her relationships there, but I know from my own personal life, being away from my family for any length of time gets to be excruciating very quickly, and so I wouldn't want to deal with that, and I can definitely sympathize if that's her primary reason for getting out there quickly as well.
They were together a lot. They obviously were able to spend that time together, and maybe it's just something where, even though Cody will likely be traveling a little bit more and a little more erratically doing indies, hey, she wanted to get that time with him when she could get it and find a way. Do you think Cody has the ability to kind of transform himself and be a main eventer elsewhere? I said in our roster evaluation when Stardust came up, no. Like, I just don't see him as that main eventer. Cody, Stardust, either one. Do you think he has that potential outside of WWE to finally grab that brass ring? Do you think he could main event in TNA or in Ring of Honor or in New Japan?
Well, I guess, from reading blogs and hearing him in interviews and reading that departing letter, I get the impression that Cody is a lot more creative than WWE would allow him to be, and I think he was stifled in that regard. So I don't know. I mean, I think he's going to get a chance to spread his wings and fail or succeed on his own merits rather than living up to and going out there and doing things according to somebody else's wishes or standards. And so I think it's very possible, because I've always been pretty high on his acting ability. I think he's one of the better actors in WWE, and I think his ring work is more than competent enough to handle being in main events and other places. So I think it's a very real possibility, but I mean, nothing is certain ever, really.
Yeah, nothing is certain, but that's a good point. His acting ability is better than most in WWE. He has a little more, he has experience on that side of things as well. He could easily become one of the better guys on indie scenes, one of the better storytellers that we see in wrestling. I'm curious to see where he ends up. I've liked him from his time in WWE. I think, like I said, he's made the best of everything he was given, or at least attempted to make the best. He seemed like someone who tried, even with the bad ideas, to make them good. So I want to see what he does when he's in charge of himself, when he is the creative force, when he is kind of the his own momentum. I want to see what that ends up being. Are there any dream matches out there? Do you have anything in your head that you would like to see him do on the indie or international scene?
You know, I'd love to see him, you know, get onto, get into Ring of Honor, get into, you know, even if it's only limited appearances or you know, get some matches in Japan. I think he'd have, you know, great matches with guys like, you know, maybe Shibata or, you know, even guys like, you know, Adam Cole or something. In Ring of Honor. You know, there's plenty of talent out there. And, I want to see him, you could go have a match with Drew Galloway somewhere, or, you know, I guess just the types of people that, you know, that love to have storytelling type matches who have established characters. And I want to see how they interact with, you know, a guy like, Cody, when he gets a chance to go out there and debut whatever character he's going to take on. I think Jay Lethal's another guy I'd like to see him work with. So there's plenty of people out on the indie scene, and a lot of talent, whether it's, you know, in the US or in the UK or Japan, to definitely sate, Cody Rhodes' interest in having, you know, fantastic wrestling matches.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people he could have great matches against. There's a lot of stuff out there. I really like the idea of him in a Ring of Honor or even an Evolve where he gets to be against your Drew Galloways, your EC3s. I think that could be a fun one where he gets to be against even I think there's something against him with him against guys like Matt Riddle, guys like Zack Sabre Jr., some of those more technical wrestling style guys. I think it could be really interesting to see him up against those. Him in Ring of Honor would be fun. You got your Bobby Fish, your Kyle O'Reilly, your Adam Cole's there that he could face. Those would be some really great matchups. And as a full-time wrestler on the Ring of Honor roster, I think he could do a lot of good. So yeah, there are a lot of places. It's a good wrestling scene for guys leaving WWE right now, which is, I guess, a plus if you can get booked on that scene and become an important thing. So, Jake, what did you think of the breakup between Charlotte and Ric Flair?
One more thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually quite optimistic about Charlotte now that she's independent of Ric Flair. I think they failed to earn the type of departure that they had. You know, it was very...
It was long.
It was exceptionally difficult to watch, not only because of, you know, the emotional content of it, which in and of itself was probably a lot more accurate than it probably should have been or had any right to be. But, you know, I think it's, you know, it just felt unearned. I think that was my biggest takeaway from it. It's like you spent, you know, a little bit of time, you know, building up the fact that Charlotte might, you know, have some objections to some of her father's behavior. You know, she told him to get out, you know, and stop wooing and stuff like that on previous episodes of Raw where he was being a little bit too obnoxious. And so, but that was really the only lead in we got to this. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, you were never there for me. Go, you can watch me on TV like I had to do for you for years. And I just, you know, they didn't really bring up any of this abandonment issues stuff until the very last minute. And I just felt too sudden. And, you know, Ric Flair did a decent job, I think, of looking completely shattered. And
he's good at crying.
If somebody, you know, was in that position, you know, and it was my daughter talking to me that way, I certainly would have fallen apart too. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm glad it's over, and I'm glad, you know, we're going to see Charlotte on her own, and it looks like, you know, she'll have Dana Brooke with her if this holds up. I think that's pretty good. You know, I think that's a move forward for the division, so it's not so centered around Ric Flair and Bret Hart and them trying to add star power to a division that really didn't need it. I think, you know, those are positive steps forward. But the way they went about it and, you know, the performance from Charlotte, I would give like a C. You know, I thought she was, you know, some of her lines were good, but her delivery is still very uneven to me. I don't think she conveys the correct emotional weight that is necessary to give a promo like that. She just kind of talked loud and monotone, and you know, the whole resting bitch face thing she had going on, that whole thing. I think, you know, she has some issues that she needs to work through. I think she did the best she could with the material she was given, but the whole thing, like I said from the start, they didn't earn it, and that was the biggest problem.
I think there are some issues with it. One, it was a statement. It was a state of the women's division segment that turned out to be all about Ric Flair. And if that's not a telling thing, I don't know what is. That worried me. And the fact that it was the only women's segment on the show, there was nothing about a new number one contender. There was nothing. There was nothing happening elsewhere in the women's division on this show. And that really concerns me. I'm actually really afraid of what WWE is doing for that reason. I wonder if they're kind of squandering some of the potential they had with that WrestleMania match and what they had built. So that concerns me. I like the Charlotte and Dana pairing. There are so many things to like that they're doing, too, that it I think it kind of ends up being a wash. But I agree with you. It wasn't a good segment, but the results should be positive.
Yeah, the fact that Becky kind of fell off the face of the earth on Raw was a bit concerning, and it sounds like they're going back to Natalya as the foil on SmackDown, and that doesn't thrill me. I mean, we haven't seen Sasha for a while on TV, and you know, that was apparently storyline related for, or at least reported that way for the longest time, and now
it's out. That
seems like she actually got hurt. I don't know what this means long term. Maybe they're just trying to get through June with Natalya, and then they can sort of head into the brand split with a sort of renewed optimism about the women's division once, you know, we get figured out who's going to land where, and if people like Bayley or Asuka or Eva Marie or Nia Jax or any of those people are going to make their way up to the main roster. We could just be seeing them doing something as a placeholder until they can make their better plans come to fruition. At least I hope that's the case, because it does seem like they've lost a lot of steam since they had a very good outing at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it seems I would like to see that division get rebuilt in a more major way, but I think it just takes time. It seems like they're being dealt a bad hand with some injuries right now. What looked like a deep roster is not quite as deep, which worries me, because again, we're talking about a roster split coming up, and the women, I think the women should play either a major role on one brand or major roles on both. Like, there are a number of ways you could use the women in this roster split scenario, but if most of them are hurt, are we just going to get the same exact thing? And my God, do I not want to see another Charlotte and Natalya match. They have been bad. Natalya has, I think, been exposed. We have seen in this why Natalya is not a legendary women's wrestler. Like, this feud has done more to accentuate the negatives of Natalya than it has to focus on the positive aspects she brings.
She could be a fantastic teacher, but she is not she's not the greatest performer. I think she can have great matches in the right circumstances, but she really can't be counted on to carry any kind of emotional feud, because she's just too wooden for that.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. She cannot be counted on to do much more than she's doing, and even that, she's been weak. She does not inspire people to cheer for her. And that's what you want in your lead protagonist in that division, especially when Charlotte is on fire as a heel, as she may be. So that is disconcerting. I want to see more stories there. I want to see more happen. And getting Ric Flair out of the way in that division is big, but it's not the biggest thing. That was not the biggest issue, even though I think it really does help that division. So hopefully we get that back on track. And now, Jake, even though people won't hear me try to end the show early before, now I think it's time to end the show. You got anything to add for the week?
Nope, that'll cover it, man. We'll have a lot more to talk about sooner than later.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye.